Tonight, I'd like for you to turn with us to the book of Luke, the 17th chapter. I'd like to talk about for a short while. I'd like to talk about being a servant. Luke 17. Verses 3 through 10.
Take heed to yourselves.
Yes.
If I brought a trespass against you, rebuke him.
Yes.
And if he repents, forgive him. Mm-hmm. And if he trespass against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day from the end to be, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Mm-hmm. And the apostle said to the Lord,
privilege to be a servant for the Lord, and it is a disaster. We yield ourselves to be a servant to sin and to the devil, but to the Lord, it's something very honorable that the Lord would choose us to serve Him. And the fact that God did make choice should make it a bit special to us, because He said, "You didn't call me; I called you. You didn't choose me." I chose you.
Yes.
I chose you to serve me. Because in my heart and mind, you were not only willing to do what you could, but I believe you would do it with all your heart. I called you because I saw something that I put in you a long, long time ago. When you were very young in your life, and you didn't quite know what you wanted to do with your life, there was something in there that... by God's mercy and grace that allowed me to work with you and guide you to the place that you are willing to give your heart and life to me. Not only just your heart, your life, you gave me your body, soul, mind, and spirit. All you are or hope to be, you gave that to me. You gave that consent to me. And so I would have you to do the things that I desire for you to do without murmuring, without complaining. I want you to do it recognizing that I have placed an honor upon you. It's not something that should be accepted grudgingly or comparing ourselves with others. That, Lord, it seemed like I'm doing more than anyone else is doing. I'm doing more than someone else that we have observed. That just because they're not doing what we're doing, they're still doing what God would have them to do.
Yeah.
Everything as a servant that God would have us do is not always visible. As a matter of fact, many of the things that are done that are of quality work are done invisible. And there's no one around to take notice of what we did, no one around to pat us on the back and let us know I really appreciate what you're doing. And I realize that we are human. And we do need some kind of incentive from time to time. And God is faithful to do that. Give us an incentive. Well, just keep on. I'm pleased with the work you're doing. It just may speak to your heart and cause you to realize the special purpose that I ordained for you to have in life, you're performing that. But at the same time, we recognize that what we're doing is no more important than anyone else in the kingdom of God. I'm still an unprofitable servant. I'm still not above and beyond what anyone else is doing. I'm just doing what the Lord ordained for me to do. And whether it seems little or much, then I'm satisfied in my soul to know that I've done what I could. The song said, have you done what you could in promoting the kingdom of God? Have you done what you could? That's all the Lord wants us to do. He's not looking for us to do anything like anyone else, but just do it in the manner in which I ordained for you to do it, because I put something in you to perform this. This is not just an act of your will, and it's not you're not doing anything above and beyond the call of duty. That's why I put it in you. Whatever you have that causes you to be able to do that, I put it there, and I give you enabling grace to carry out my purpose in your life. So the enemy, we have a human propensity about us, and sometimes we would like someone to at least show you appreciate it. But you know, God doesn't deal with us always that way. Sometimes God wants to just put his hand on us and just to know that, Lord, you want this done? You need this done, Lord? Well, Lord, I'm willing to make whatever sacrifice it takes to please you. And however the results may be, Lord, just to know, that you understand. You know the depths of the kind of sacrifice that I had to make to do what I'm doing. Others may look on and say, well, it looks like whatever they're doing is a breeze. They don't look like they're putting forth much effort or not. But certainly all of us have to put forth effort, because whatever we're doing that God is pleased with, you can rest assured the devil's doing everything he can to discourage and cast us down. And so I'm thankful that our relationship with God is personal, and that's how we should always keep it. So God talks to us and give us an understanding for what he would have us to do. Whether everyone understand the sacrifice is being made or not, Jesus knows. He knows and he understands, and we can know of a surety our reward may not be on this, but it'll certainly be on the other side. That's what we work toward. Lord, I want a reward at the end. I want a reward. I'm striving for reward. I'm striving for a blessed well done. By your grace, Lord, I don't want to ever go through life spinning my wheels. I think this is what I'm supposed to be doing. No, God can make it very sure and certain to us. You're doing what I told you to do. And I'm pleased with it. And continue pressing on. Continue putting forth every effort, putting one step in front of the other. And don't look back. Don't look back and see how it was received. You just do it in the name of the Lord, and I will see to it that it's a blessing that comes forth from it. And so we are unprofitable servants. We've done our duty. Jesus did everything for us to enable us to be able to serve him. It's not that we're pulling out deep down from something deep down in us. No, that's not it. It is solely by the grace of Almighty God that we are able to do what we do. And we don't really expect anything special. We just know, I see him smiling. By faith, I see him smiling, and that's enough for me. That's enough for me. There are times when the Lord said, you know, I think they need a little bit more. And you know, he'll grant that. He'll give us what we need because he knows we have an adversary that fights us and accuses us day and night. Yeah. He knows it. And we also know the Lord said he's cast down. But we must count it so. Amen. We must count it so in our heart and our mind, and not consider the things that the enemy is speaking to us by way of discouragement, that there's any truth to it at all. There's no truth at all to anything that the devil accuses us of. And so we must rightly divide, and we must know of a certainty that everything is well between us and God. But whatever, I repeat, whatever the Lord has ordained for us to do, He'll see to it that it's a success. He'll see to it. If we do it humbly and as unto Him, it will be a blessing. And again, you may never see the fruit of it personally yourself, but you can know it's fruitful if God had His hand in it. And so we're unprofitable servants. And we want to... We look at others with a greater esteem. The scripture says that esteem others better than yourself. That's the attitude God would have us to have. Esteem them better. Well, thank you. Oh, I appreciate what you did. Well, thank you. You know, I'm not comparing myself, but I really think somebody else could do it better. But whatever I can do, I'm glad that the Lord accepts it. I don't consider what I'm doing to be anything great or, again, beyond the call of duty. But I'm doing it because that's the understanding that I have. My faith takes in that God wants me to do it, and God's going to bring a reaping one of these days. And so as we go on through our life, we realize that we're unprofitable servants, true enough, but we are not to share our service with anything of the flesh. It is to be something that the Holy Ghost has led us and directed us. We can't serve God and mammon. We can't serve our our own personal interests in that. Some things may benefit us in a great way, but at the same time, whether we see it or not, God's getting the benefit out of it. He's getting the most benefit out of it more than we truly are. So I'm thankful that the Lord knows how to work with us and deal with us and keep us moving in the direction He'd have us to go. Now, in the 15th chapter of the book of John, we have another thought. This one verse, 15 and 15. Yes, I call you not servants. The servant doesn't know what his Lord is doing. I've called you friends. Yes. I've made known to you. All right, servants, in the respect that we just spoke of, that's valid and that's right, and that's the way the Lord would have it. But here, the disciples are entering into another dispensation of time. A Holy Ghost dispensation is beginning to come into being. And the Lord wants to, through the Spirit of God abiding in them, He wants to instruct them and teach them a close personal relationship with Him. That in a justified state, you love the Lord and you appreciate all His goodness and all His kindness and His dealings with you. But that the Holy Ghost is what brings us close to God. The Holy Ghost helps us to communicate with God in prayer, and the Holy Ghost communes right back with us and gives us clarity in things that we're not so clear about. Sometimes we would like to just go ask others, well, you think I'm doing the right thing? You know, that's maybe at the very first of your experience, the Lord may allow that. But you know, when the Holy Ghost comes and He abides in our heart, and He moves upon us, and He brings all things to our remembrance, and just a little nudge here and there, and we know what He wants us to do. At the same time, He wants it to be so between you and I. I want you to feel free to come and ask me, and know that I'll tell you plainly. Don't get into the habit of me having to tell you through somebody else. I want you to talk to me. I want this relationship with you. I want a friendship with you. Now, Abraham was a friend of God, but his friendship was such that he still had a great respect and regard and reverence for the Lord. But his communication with God was as of a friend. There are things that you ask of a friend that you just don't ask of a servant, because they're duty bound to do it because they're servants and they have to obey their masters. But here, a friend has some choices sometimes. I can choose whether I want to do that or not. And the Lord wants it to be so, I chose to do this. It wasn't because it was a demand put upon me, a constraint put on me. If anything constrained me, it was the love of God, the love I have for the Father. So I'm calling you friends. Our relationship, I want it to be different now. I want you to talk with me like you would a bosom friend. The things that you're not able to empty out to everyone else, I want you to always feel free to empty out to me.
Yeah.
I want to know the deep secrets that you have down in your heart. And it's not because I need to know. I know what they are.
Yeah.
But the fact that you would hold them gives the enemy a little ground to work.
Sure.
I want you to open up before me. And I want you to confess before me where you are, what's bothering you, what is disturbing you. I want you to open up and talk to me about it. And I'll bring it to pass that you are able to get the relief that you need. God wants something very personal with every one of us. And the communication may not be exactly the same, but the results will be the same. God is pleased, and we have a deep see the satisfaction in our heart that our communication with God is clear, it's right, it's something that brings again the deepest kind of a satisfaction. I don't know what other word to use. It's just a deep something that goes down deep within you, that very essence of you is touched and motivated because you know your communication with God is clear. That's one of the reasons why it's always said, don't. If something needs to be worked out in your life, work it out. Keep everything clear. Keep it so the avenue and the channel of the communication between you and God, the devil can't intercept it. That there's nothing of yourself involved. No personal gratification out of it all. The things that God wants from us are sacrifices. That's what an acceptable sacrifice is. Is something that costs me something. That's why David said he wouldn't, I appreciate you wanting to give it to me, but this is a sacrifice that I want to make, and it's going to have to cost me something. And so I'm willing to pay down to the uttermost farthing. Whatever it costs, I'll do it. When the scripture says, agree with your adversary quickly while he's in the way, don't stand around and drag your feet about it. And you know there's something that needs to be done. You know there's something that needs to be accomplished. And you know that there's maybe something that's not quite correct. And so you're willing to press on and just do whatever you need to do. But there comes a time when something may be said to you, and it may be a little bit on the, negative, uncomplimentary side. Rather than go back and forth and justify your position with that person, you know there's a grain of truth in what they said. Maybe not the whole picture, but there's a grain of truth. Go on and agree, and let the Lord bless you, and come up to the point where that is cleared off in your experience by your humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. If you fail to humble yourself and open yourself, one to God and one to another, well then there'll come a time when you end up paying a whole lot more than it's going to cost right now. Right now all it's going to cost you is some humility. Maybe a little humiliation. But that's a very small price to pay. So to know that the devil cannot accuse you or impose upon you in your communication with God.
Yeah.
Everything we should guard, my Sister Clark would always say, guard your life with your life. Guard the things that are precious to you. If your salvation is precious to you, you guard it. If the things that you do and say mean everything to you, then you act like it. And you place the highest premium on your life and the life that you have given over to God, and the fact that you can talk to God and He can talk back to you, and there's no questions involved. I'm not quite sure, but you know the Holy Ghost speaks expressly. If we have a willingness and we don't have something already preconceived in our heart and mind, well, I'm going to ask the Lord, and I sure hope it's this. You can't have that kind of attitude before the Lord. Lord, whatever you want, not my will, but thine be done, it will be crystal clear to you. But if you have something preconceived in your heart, in your mind, and I'm wondering, I don't know if I really heard it right, though, I'm not quite sure, because you still want it to be another way, well, then you have not fully submitted yourself to God. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Then there will not, there won't be anything ambiguous about your conversation with the Lord. I say again, God wants it very personal between you and he. And it doesn't have anything to do with me. And in the sense, your relationship with God and your communication with him is personal. And you may talk to him in a way that I don't. And I may talk to him in a way that you don't. But we stay within the parameters that God has fixed for us. So there's always the clarity that is needed, that I know exactly what the Lord wants me to do. And I accomplish it to the best of my ability. And the songwriter says, when you've done your best, let Jesus do the rest. We do not have all power and all ability, but we do have what God has given us. And if we use everything he's given us, he's well pleased. All right, going on a little further. Luke 15. 15th chapter of Luke, maybe 14 through 22. Very familiar text about the prodigal son.
And when he had sent off,
yes,
he arose and invited his family in that land.
Yes.
And he began to teach in one.
Amen.
And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country.
Amen.
And he sent him into his fields to feed swine.
Yes. Yes. Is that through the 22nd verse?
I will arise and go to my father.
Yes.
And will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee.
Amen.
And am no more worthy to be called thy son.
Yes.
Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off,
thank the Lord. Best robe. Yes.
And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet.
Amen. Now, here's the father-son relationship. And it's something very special. A mother-son relationship is one thing, but a father-son relationship is another thing altogether. Just like a mother-daughter relationship is one thing, but a father relationship is something altogether. It all works together. God knows how to minister to us, and I realize there are times when that condition is not always there, when there's not always a mother or a father in the home. But you know, God knows how to fill those places, especially in the church. God knows how to fill the places where the actual circumstances do not exist, but God can actually work with the need, and he can fulfill and satisfy that need. Here we have a young man who left the house pretty arrogant and pretty demanding, like he deserved something. He was just living under his father's roof, being fed, maybe doing a few chores here and there. But I doubt if his performance was any more special than anyone else's. It's just a rebellious attitude came within him. He succumbed to a rebellious attitude. And I don't know if he saw negative examples around him, what spurred him to do such a bold thing as to go to his father and say, give me, I know you owe me something. You know, I'm here with you still. I could have left a long time ago, but I'm still here. But I made up my mind, it's time for me to go. I'm 18 years old. I'm a man. And it's time for me to set my own pace in life. I know a few things. I've learned a few things over the few years. And he doesn't know. He's just as ignorant as he can be. He may know quite a bit about what's going around the household. You know, may know quite a bit of, about the dynamics and how a farm or is a, you know what I'm about to, he's trying to say. He may know quite a bit how to operate the business of the house. And then again, there's a side he doesn't know. He knows the side of a son. He doesn't know the side of the father, how the father is carrying the biggest weight of it all. He just loves that son, trying to nourish him and nurture him, trying to help him and encourage along the way, trying to talk to him in a way that he can understand. Well, at the same time, he won't feel like too many demands are put upon him. But you know, if there's a little unthankfulness in the heart, pretty much everything that's asked of you, you feel like, I don't understand why he keeps asking me the same thing. I did it. How come so-and-so can't do it this time? Well, you have no idea the kind of burden that so-and-so is carrying. Not only that, they're not saying anything to you about the load that they're carrying. You only see your part. You're so self-absorbed that everything that's asked of you is a great trial, a big trial that's inflated above and beyond what the norm is. And you always have a complaint about everything that's asked of you. And it's just very, very reasonable what's being asked you. Everyone should have some chores in a house, in a household, or in a farm, or whatever kind of business it is. Everyone should have some kind of chores. After all, the father's putting out more than you all. The mother is putting out quite a bit just to keep the household going, just to keep things in order. What's the scripture tell a woman to do? Guiding the house. Now, that's a chore. And it's not an easy chore. Sometimes you have enough to guide the house, and sometimes you're just scrimping and scraping and trying to get everything together to provide things as nice and comfortable as you possibly can. And so sometimes the children, they don't see that. They don't recognize. They don't see any sacrifice. It's just, hey, that's what mamas do. That's what fathers do. That's what you do, right? All right, fine. You just adopt that same attitude when you have a wife and children. And you bear the responsibility that I'm bearing. Then you come back and talk to me. And then we can come on a plane where you can comprehend. But very likely, if he comes back, he won't be asking a lot of questions. He'll just let it be known that I really didn't see and understand what was really going on. I didn't really know all the sacrifices that you were making. And now that my son doesn't appreciate it, now that he's ungrateful, I made up my mind and said, well, listen, I'm not going to allow my son to have to do the things that I had to do. I'm going to make sure he has things easy in life. Worst thing you can do. Worst thing you can do. They need the responsibility. They need to be needed. And so, as it were, this son had a lot of wrong attitudes going on in his mind. Some of them was ignorance, and some of them was just feeling your oats, just testosterone. You know, just a young man coming to a place where he feels like he can handle life all by himself. Bless his heart. In any event, God is merciful. The father was merciful. He could have said now, said, listen, you're not ready to go anywhere, and I'm not giving you a thing. You're going to have to prove something around here. Well, he knew his son. He knew the attitude, and he knew the makeup and the temperament of his son. And he knew that he needed a good, hard lesson. You can't spare your children from every hard, difficult thing that's going to come their way. You can know it's going to come their way, but they're not going to listen. They just seem like, I want to do it hard. And so, then they bear the shame and degradation. And they bear the loss of some very precious things, some things that they were brought up with, that at one time they appreciated and they held in high value. But now they've gone a route where just pray that they'll be able to recover some of those precious things that God caused them to be able to receive. So that's partly the way of life. And everybody seems like goes up that hill and comes to a place. Sometimes it's a young lady will do the very same thing and feel like she's pretty aware and in tune what's going on. They think, you don't know what's going on out there, but I know. And since I know, I think you ought to do things my way. Well, you're just so blind. No. You're just seeing, you've been blindsided by the things that you see, and you think it's the whole picture. And you're just looking, what do they call it? You just have tunnel vision right now. And you don't really see the whole picture, what life is all about. And all I've been trying to do is spare you. That's all. Just trying to spare you from bumping your head too hard. So, he let him have his way. And his prayer was, and if he said, if I know my son, he's going to go out. He's not going to invest in his money. He's not going to do anything profitable with it. He's going to waste it because that's who he is. I see him. I know him. I know what's in him. If he doesn't know it, I know it. But I'm going to pray, Lord, that you'd bring him back. And bring him back with a different attitude that he left. And the Lord did that. Like I say, there are things that parents can see in children that the children don't even know is there themselves. And again, you're restraining them, restricting them. How come we can't? How come we can't go? Others are going, other saints' children, they're doing that. How come we can't do it? Well, you know yours. And you know that's not going to be a good thing for them to do. But then, sometimes they just decide they're just going to leave and do it on their own. It's a sad picture, but it happens. And about all you can do is try to spare them as much as you can and trust they'll come back around and try to learn the submission and the love and the appreciation and not to be so self-centered that everything is about me. That's how this young man was. Everything was about him. Anyone else's feelings, father, mom, brother, sister, their feelings didn't matter very much, just mine. This is what I'm feeling right now, and I'm just kind of raring to go to prove to you that I'm a man. Well, God help us. You know, it means a lot to have a forgiving heart too, doesn't it? Well, you know, you hurt me so bad, and I don't know if I even want to see you again. I don't know if I want you back in my house. If you do come back in, you're going to do this, that, and the other. No, just wait on the Lord. And this was a wise father. He was a father that had wisdom. And don't know what all he dealt with while he was at home. Maybe he saw some things that put something in him that caused him to deal cautiously, to deal gently with this young man. He dealt gently with him. He truly did. And that was his love. It was a sacrifice to him to do it. Because he's the father. He has the authority. He could have handled things a lot different than what he did. But he is trying to win his son. So, as it were, the son comes back. Now he has a different attitude. He's able to see quite a bit about life that he didn't see. People that say they're your friends when you have plenty in your pocket, they're not real friends. They want to use you, and after you run out, they're through with your friendship. Yeah. Not the kind of friends Jesus told. You're my friends. So you're my friends, you're my disciples if you obey me, and if you do the commandments of God, then we can maintain a relationship and have a communication with each other that the devil can't interfere with. So here this young man comes back. The father's been praying and looking and longing just to hear something about my son. Have you may have spoken to the older son. Have you heard anything about whatever his name was? You heard anything about your brother? No, Dad, I ain't heard nothing about him. What you worried about him for? He went on his way. Let him, let him learn his lesson. Well, Dad wasn't thinking that way. He may or may not have gotten some news that was not very encouraging, and he had to ask the Lord to increase my faith, Lord. I don't know if my son will bring or make it back or not, but I'm trusting you to bring him back to a rational place in their heart and mind where they're able to get a hold of you and they're able to get to know who you are. So, when their son came to a place where he was willing to condescend to being a servant, realize his behavior and his attitude, portraying his father's confidence in him. He had had responsibilities and he may have done them grudgingly, but the father did try to show him the love and care that a father does. However, when this young man came back, he came back realizing, I'm not such big stuff after all. I'm not who I thought I was. And what I perceived about people and how they thought about me, that wasn't right either. Most young people go out into the world thinking that everybody's their friend. Oh, mom, oh, dad, that's my friend. And you know there's nothing in that child that's coming around your son. There's nothing in them of any good at all. And you just try to gear them and steer them in the right direction, but they sometimes they are very insistent and they're just going to go and do it anyway. That's a sad, sad picture. But it happens way too often. In any event, this young man was able to condescend to the role of a servant. And he realized Father was being gracious to even accept him then. Now he sees and he knows something about life. And you wish he hadn't had to learn it that way, but he came back with a penitent attitude and very remorseful. And God had mercy. Brought him back into the household. Make me one of your hard servants. That's the type of way we like to see a person coming back to the Lord. Come back with an attitude of heart and mind. I don't even deserve to be a servant. I don't even deserve for you to bring me back, but thank you so much, Lord. God can prosper that. And we pray that everyone in that state will come back at some time with that attitude. We hope and pray that they will. However, this young man did. We're glad to know that God is able to work. He has such compassion, and he gives us such compassion that we're willing to receive a soul that comes back to the Lord. All right. So the best robe was brought out, and the fatted calf was killed and roasted. And then we got a response from the older brother. And he felt like it. He had been betrayed. Here are doing all these good things for my brother, and he didn't do half the things that I did. And you didn't appreciate what I did you? All these years I've been with you. Lo, I've been with you all these years. You didn't bring out a best robe, and you didn't have anyone kill a fatted calf. And now he's upset. He's got a chip on his shoulder. And Father knew about him too.
Yeah.
But he knew also that this son may not be doing right now, but I just trust he'll come around with the right attitude. Yes, he has both of these sons to deal with. And God gives him grace and wisdom and then a lot of prayer that he would come around and recognize how blessed he was that he made the choice to stay home. Even though he may have felt like he deserved more, he was doing what he should have done. He was just doing what a son should do. And for him to accept the attitude of an unprofitable servant was a little much for him. But God is able to bring us to the place where we have a balance concept of who he is and how blessed we are to be in relationship with him. And so, Zephaniah 3 and 9, if you read that, and we'll look in the 12th chapter of Luke and be finished with the help of the Lord. Zephaniah 3 and 9. Yes. Yes.
And they may all call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen. Yes. Now, I'd like to narrow it down with the consent that we give God when we give our heart and lives to Him. God truly does not allow anything to come in our lives that He did not get our consent for. We gave our consent. Of course, the difference between God and the devil is that the devil will take a person deeper and deeper into sin, and he won't ask 1 minute, is it all right with you if I do this? He'll just take them on because he can, because they're in bondage to him. God's love and care for him is such, if you do this at all, I want you to do it because you love me. That's what I want. I want a love relationship between you and I. And as it were, God requires that we give our consent before we do anything for him. And whether we just say right off, Lord, I consent for you to take me through the worst trial that I've ever been in. It's not that way. It's just how we pray and make requests to the Lord. Lord, whatever it takes for me to have the level of grace for thus and so and thus and so, I'm willing to do that. We have no idea what we're asking for. And sometimes we're not quite prepared. But God is very gracious and He has patience with us and He'll work with us. And we might even complain a little bit at first until we realize God has done us a great favor. He's taking us through or in a way that we have access by faith to all we need to be able to be victorious over the enemy of our souls. And so, in some way, we gave God consent. Our requests to Him. How do we think God is going to accomplish what we ask for? How does grace come? How does patience? How does love? How does long-suffering come? It comes through tribulation. And so, God is expecting we actually mean what we say.
Yeah.
Did you really mean that? It's all right for me to do what I consider to be just and right to bring about the kind of fruit that you feel like you need. Now, I know what you need, and I require for you to ask and give me entrance to be able to work with you. And so He directs us that way in our prayers through the Spirit. And then He works with us until there is a complete willingness for us to go through on His terms. It may take a while, but we find that God has a lot more patience than we have. He waits for us longer than we have to wait for Him. I know the Scripture tells us to wait on Him. Wait on the Lord, He'll strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You don't know how long the long-suffering of God has waited for us to come to a place that we're willing to let the Lord have His way, to let Him have His way in our life. We don't often see the obstructions in our life, the me factor that we have about us that we haven't quite discovered yet. But God sees it. And He's not going to go around it. He's going to take us right through it and help us to see what it is we're dealing with and for us to become willing. Lord, yes, I want that to go too. Yes, Lord, I want you to work with that part of my life and my personality as well. And I thank him for it, and I know you do too. Serve him with one consent. That's how God would have it to be with all of his children. So there can be a striving and working together for God's purpose. One more scripture, Luke 12, 43 through 48. Blessed is that servant when his Lord cometh shall so find doing. It sounds like there is a vigilance that we must have to continue to do the grudging, everyday, routine things of life. You know, sometimes we want a new scenery here. I know this is my duty and my responsibility to do this, but I like a little something different about this. It takes something for you and I to continue to do the same seemingly boring thing over and over and over and over and over again. And in our minds, what for? Why am I doing this? You're doing this because you're wanting to please God. And again, if you never receive a recompense on this side of eternity, you can rest assured you receive it on the other side. God bless the reading of His word.